Hey, Art Supply Posse. Today I'm joined by previous guest Susie Stonefield. Susie is chatting with me today to talk about some large shifts she's making to her art life, which I think will serve as a reminder to everyone that it's okay to make changes if you feel you need to. Change can be scary and daunting, but also exciting, and it can also open new doors you didn't even know existed. Hi, Susie. Welcome back to the posse.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for saying yes to this conversation. I'm looking forward to telling you all about my new ideas and hopefully inspiring people
as we talk. Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be fun. I definitely feel like I'm literally going to throw over to you, and, you know, this is definitely a conversation that we have zero ideas about, at least me anyway. I'm going to respond to you. This is just going to be one of those freewheeling conversations. Maybe I need to apologize in advance. I don't know.
I don't think so.
The listeners might go, where are you going? And I genuinely have no idea. But I think that's okay. I think regardless of where it goes to, it's going to be a great conversation because, you know, hey, art supplies. When is it not? Like art, when is it not a good conversation?
I know. Well, that's why I thought to talk to you about it, because I thought you and I will have a great conversation about this topic. Yeah. So,
and hopefully one other person will enjoy it. That's all I need.
I sure hope so. I think maybe two at least.
Fantastic.
If we're lucky.
Excellent. That's 50% more than what I wanted. So, hey, we're
right. We're already doubling our
100% more. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Right. That's not my thing. All right. I'm just going to shut up for a minute and I'm just going to let Susie go.
So the last couple times we talked, my focus has been talking about creativity and grief, because that's the work that I've been doing the last, specifically the last 3 years, but really I've been doing a lot of that work over the last decade. And what happened was that at the end of last year, I hit a wall. I finished teaching my deep dive on grief and found that I didn't feel like I had the juice to do a whole lot more. I did a couple workshops here and there, and I ran my New Year's retreat in January. And that the New Year's retreat is sort of a whole different ballgame. It's focused on reflecting on the past year and calling in the life of your dreams, that kind of thing. But I just kept staying in like this hibernation mode, and trusting that when the right thing arrived, I would know what it was, like an invitation from the universe, if you want to call it that. I was, you know, on and off. I was actually sort of worried because I wasn't pushing my work the way I normally did. I kept saying no to the things that I'd sort of put on my planning calendar, because as I got closer to marketing them, I felt like, I don't feel it. I don't feel like sharing this, because I don't really want to get immersed in another deep dive about grief, even though I believe it's really important work to do in the world. So I just decided I'm just going to have a little more patience with myself. And every New Year's, I choose a word for the year as my like guiding principle, my teacher, my lighthouse. And I've been doing this for over a decade, and every year that word, whatever it is so impactful for me. It really has helped me focus on something that I want to keep bringing into my life. So this year I chose the word nourished. I also say the word chooses you. So anyway, nourished and I decided to have a partnership this year. And the idea of nourished was, I really wanted to nourish my mind, my body, my spirit, and that meant bringing practices into my life that would expand and take care of, and in ways that I think, at least for me, when I got caught, I was caught up in like the day-to-day and especially running my own business and everything, that I wasn't taking care of myself in these different ways. So one of the things I started doing on not a daily basis, but as often as possible, maybe 4 or 5 times a week, was I'd get up in the morning, instead of scrolling for hours on social media or whatever, or even like answering emails from my phone or anything like that, I'd actually get up, do my morning thing, you know, take my shower, everything, and come out to my studio and make a cup of tea and sit in my cozy chair back there and read a book. Because I used to love to read, and like a lot of people, my attention span has sort of like diminished over the years with the internet. So I really wanted to sort of build that muscle up again. And I love to buy books, but I hadn't been reading very much. I had a huge stack. And the first book that I pulled off the pile was called The Wisdom of Not Knowing. And, or something like that. Actually, I should get the actual title. The Wisdom of the Unknown, something like that. Embracing the Wisdom of the Unknown. I need to go look at it. But it was so good. Like, it was very juicy. I just was highlighting everything. And I was reading it for several weeks. I kept telling people about it. And one day, I opened it up, and it was the last chapter of the book. And I read the first 2 sentences, and I put the book down. I got out my notebook, and I wrote, like, 4 pages of ideas. It had, like, flipped the cork right out of the bottle, and the genie was, like, pouring ideas out. And the topic of the chapter was courage and the unknown, like facing the unknown and feeling courage. And it immediately made me think about creativity, because I think that it takes courage to be creative. And what I see with a lot of people who come to work with me is fear holds them back. Like, fear has held them back from being creative, whether it's because they have a narrative that they're not worthy, or someone told them they're not creative or something like that, or they're afraid. Like, how many people do you know? This is why I thought to talk to you, because it's about art supplies too, so much. How many people do you know who have a closet full of art supplies that they never use because they don't want to waste them, right? So I just started thinking about all the ways that people don't even tap into their creativity in a playful way because of fear. And really what I was feeling was like, it takes courage to use your art supplies. It takes courage just to even experiment with them and get messy and not know what to do with them, but do it anyway. And what led from that morning was, like, I call it a creative tsunami, like just so many ideas pouring in every single day of what I wanted to teach people about courage using creativity. And so the other piece of this is that for the last 9 months or so, I've had this desire to create an online community. Now, I have, like, I do my deep dive programs. They're 10 weeks long. I do retreats. Sometimes I do classes in person, but none of them are really ongoing communities where people can show up and know they'll see people they know and connect and grow friendships. And, you know, I used to be in them, some communities on Facebook, and most of them have really shriveled up. And I do have one class that's sort of a back-end program called The Garden, and it's very small, like 6 people. It's been ongoing, and the membership has changed very slowly. So that would be the one community that I do have. But what I was envisioning and desiring was a big community of creative people. But I kept thinking about and looking, as I researched, looking into like membership communities, creative communities online, and they were all very focused just on art making and playing with art supplies, and not the work that I do with people, which is doing like the deep, vulnerable, raw work of self-discovery through the creative process through art journaling specifically, really. And so before I had my big tsunami of ideas, I kept saying no to this idea of building a membership community. It's a big lift as an entrepreneur to start something like this and to maintain it. And I kept thinking, like, I don't know what I have that's different. I couldn't envision a grief community like that exactly because it doesn't have the kind of energy that I wanted to have in it. Even though I think people in grief need community too, of course. So suddenly I had this vision of a community, of a program that was centered in creativity and creative play, where you build your courage muscle, being experimental and digging around and getting messy. And then you do the deep, insightful work of art journaling to look at fear and courage and how does fear hold you back and what are your fear narratives and things like that. And then moving into like being courageous in your life so that you have a meaningful life. Like, what is the thing that is holding you back? What fear narratives are holding you back from stepping into your life, basically? And suddenly I had my membership, like I had my community that felt unique and useful and different and compelling. And so since then, and it's been like the last month or so, I have been working constantly to figure this out. It's not fully formed yet. I wanted to talk to you, even though it wasn't fully formed. I was just like, I had to tell Kim about this. But I'm doing all sorts of work in the background to build my community, to figure out what are my offerings. I'm interviewing people like my clients or my followers. I don't even know what to call people, but it's like I've been dangling little tidbits in my emails every week. And people have started writing me emails saying, I want to know, what is this thing you're talking about? I want to know about this. And so I've been interviewing people to like pick their brains. What is it? You know, what is fear like? What's your relationship with fear? What's your relationship with courage? How do you live a meaning-filled life? And the answers have been fascinating. And honestly, everyone I've talked to has said, I am really interested in this because it's community, it's creativity. And of course, if people are following me, it has to do with creativity, right? So it's community, creativity, fear, courage, and having a meaningful life. And right now in our world, people are so isolated and lonely and scared and overwhelmed, and they are feeling their lives shrink down. And yet we all want to have a life that has meaning, whether or not you call it your life purpose, or you just do things that feel meaningful, that fill your heart and lift your spirit. And like my word for the year, nourish you, mind, body, heart, soul, whatever, every part of you. And so that's what this is that I'm creating. It's a community for people to come together to play around with the art supplies I'm going to be doing, demos and technique, you know, tutorials, but with the objective of playing and pushing through the baby fear you have around art supplies. Because honestly, if we look at the picture of life in general, your fear of using art supplies is minimal compared to fears you have about a lot of other things. Then we'll be doing a lot of art journaling, sharing our work. There'll be a gallery in the community where people can post their work and comment on each other's work. We'll witness each other. There'll be group coaching calls where we like sit around. It's like sitting with your friends at your favorite cafe, have your cup of coffee, and we'll talk about juicy topics like what holds you back, what are you afraid of, what does courage feel like, what does courage look like, what are your courage stories in your life, things like that. And then we'll be cheering each other on and almost holding each other accountable for the little to giant acts of courage that we want to call in or enact in our lives, which could be as small as having that really uncomfortable conversation with that one person that you've been avoiding for the past decade, or becoming an activist, you know, and like showing up in this country, showing up at the courthouse and standing between people and ICE officers, if that's what's calling to you. Or maybe it's changing your career, or asking for a promotion, or retiring, or traveling by yourself, you know, to Europe or wherever. So anything goes. It's no rules around that. But the idea is that with community holding you up and wanting to cheer you on, and having also all been resonating with the same thing, we are all holding stories of fear that keep us from living into our lives. And so we all know what you're going through, and we can help each other feel more courageous.
I think the really important thing with this, the thing that keeps coming to my mind, is especially because you've mentioned talking to people who follow you, whatever, I don't know the right term either for it, because it's not like influencer as you is not the right descriptor. Like, I don't know. I don't even know. Anyway, I think the really important thing and what will make it work, aside from the fact that I just know it's going to work because you're doing it. But I think part of it is, and I feel like part of why people are already saying to you, Susie, what is this thing? How do we get to partake in this thing? Is because they trust you. Whether they have actually done the grief work with you or simply followed you, even, you know, whether they're reading your emails every week and not necessarily consciously doing anything that you might have put out there in that email, or, you know, on Instagram, for example, they've seen you posting things there. They may not have actually directly done any grief work with you, but they've come to trust your opinion and your way of seeing the world and how you want to be in the world. And probably from that, you might just simply, you know, comment on, you know, in the community, they might share something that they've done and you go, this is what you should be doing more of, for example. That is probably enough for them to actually run with that. Like, if I think of, because I'm still in the process of building up my photography business, it's a slow, long, slow thing. It's just how it is. But if I think of two really big moments, but one in particular that really shifted things for me was my photography mentor saying to me in person, it's hard to kind of get it into words that make sort of sense because I can't talk about the conversation we had just prior to this. But she said, the world needs to see your photography and in your style.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to mimic somebody else, which was what I had been, or no, I wasn't, but I was thinking my work wasn't good enough because it wasn't like this predominant other work that is quite often seen in my area. My work is not that. She's like, you don't need to do that. You need to do what you're doing because the world needs what you're doing. And for her to tell me that, literally, the shift in my brain was massive, because suddenly here was this woman who I trust, I understand her skills, you know, everything that she does is for me extraordinary, and it's she pushes me to continue to improve. She believes in me. She thinks what I'm producing is very good and people need it. And that for me was enough to go, wow, okay, so all right, it's okay to do what I do. There's nothing wrong. Like, it's very hard and I still do it from some time to time. I'll still look at what I produce and think, oh, this isn't that. No, it's not. And it's never going to be that, because that's not what I admire it. I can appreciate it for what it is. But it's not what calls me when I've got a camera in front of my eye. And so I think for people who will join the community, they're going to get something like that from you, because so many of us just need to hear from someone we trust and value the opinion of, to say you matter and your work matters, right? Because it's so easy for those voices, and it's usually only one or two that have told us that we can't do the thing we want to do. For whatever reason they've said that, often it's just because they wish they could and they don't have the skills to do it. So they're gonna
push
you down too, right?
Right.
But it just takes someone like you to say, hey, actually, I need to see more of this from you because this is incredible. And I think it's going to make a big change to quite a lot of people in different ways to the grief work. Not to reduce the value of that, but to lift up this other way of working, I think.
Well, and I agree with you. Well, and thank you. I think I'm flattered that you think people trust me and that they would value my opinion about that. And I also think it's, at least for me, this is how I think. I like to normalize things. I like to know that I'm not the only one having an experience.
Yeah.
You know? That's something I actually seek it out a lot, maybe more than most people. I have no idea. But so for me, in creating the community, it's also this feeling of how reassuring it will be to be in a community of people who are like, yeah, fear is my, you know, right-hand man. And here are all the things on my wish list that I've never accomplished because I have so many stories about why I can't do it, whether it's that it's a stupid idea, it's too big, I don't deserve it, that will never happen. And the honest truth is that I know this because I live this. Mm-hmm. And I also have lived the transformation of like moving past the edge of my fear into the unknown, saying whatever, I have to go forward now. And I've transformed my life by facing my fear over and over and like expanding. And honestly, doing this project, just like the introduction of the podcast, you talked about, you know, pivoting and things like that being scary. I'm constantly, I mean, here I am, it's very meta. I'm constantly facing my own fear about making this program, this community, and taking the risk of like putting the grief work down that has carried me through the last 3 years. And I'm making this program about putting your fear down and doing it anyway. So it cracks me up all the time because I'm like, oh yeah, well, teacher teaches what she needs to learn.
Correct.
You know, but also because I believe in it so much. You know, we talked about this on at least one of the other conversations we had, that I came out of the closet really late, like I was 56. And one of the reasons I was so old when I did it is because I'd been holding it back for such a long time with so much fear. How will I support myself? Everyone will reject me. What will I do? How can I break everyone's hearts? No one will forgive me. No one will understand. Who am I to ask for this? Like, this is so selfish. I need to take care of my family, blah, blah, blah. Every, you know, 5 million fears. And my art journals are full of them. And then I did it. I finally just did it. And came to understand, first of all, my life is so much bigger than it was. Everyone who I really needed to still love me still loves me. People understood. Some people didn't. Oh, well, you lose people sometimes. It wasn't that many. And I was lucky. There are people who are leaving, have to leave communities to come out and do lose their whole community. I didn't. Mm-hmm. Have that, yeah. Thankfully, and I realize that's privilege. But But I was so afraid of all the things. And now it's like, I am living the life that I want to live. I'm married to my love. I'm living a queer life that feels totally aligned. I support myself with my work that I dreamed up myself. My kids are part of my life. My mom adores my wife. I mean, I'm still friends with my husband. It's just like all the things that I was afraid could never possibly be are in the positive, not the negative. So I know what I'm talking about. And creativity was a big part of it. My art journal was my life raft through the whole experience. And community was important too. I found some queer, like late in life queer communities that really helped. So I know that like having community when you want to face your fear, when you're afraid, when you're wanting to be courageous, all of that's a powerful motivator to keep moving forward.
Yeah, I recently, literally just this weekend, realized one of my goals for this year is photography related, and it's to do with some qualifications, I guess, for better description. And I've got the images I need, like I need 10 photos. I've got them there. They need to be, I need to make some changes to them. But I was like, why is it March, the middle of March, essentially, and I've still done nothing with this? And I realized it's because I'm terrified of failure. Like I'm terrified that I'll put them yeah. in and I will get rejected. You know, marked poorly and I won't get what I want. And then I'm like, okay. Funnily enough, though, if I don't make the submission, I'm never going to find out if I that would, like, that's even more of a failure, is it not?
Exactly.
Oh, so here it we seems- are. Like, now I've right, okay, fair call. So how about we actually just try?
Uh-huh.
Because even yeah. if I was to fail, like, even if I don't think I would, but even if I didn't get what I wanted, I don't think the world will stop revolving.
Right. And that's,
I'm pretty certain it won't, right?
Right. And even if, like, whatever it is your fear is, it's really important to just embrace it or mm-hmm. at least call it out, right?
Call it out. Yes.
What
that's
is
the
it?
Biggest thing, right? Call it out. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I'm scared.
Yeah. I'm scared that this will happen. What is yeah. it? Well, why yeah. am I so scared that will happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, okay, I'm afraid that I'll get rejected or they'll tell me my work isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why am I afraid of hearing that? Well, yes. because it'll yeah. crush my confidence. Yeah. Why am I afraid of my confidence getting crushed? You know, like you can keep going down that path for a little while until finally you realize, well, if you look at another fear you have, they actually all probably end up in the same place. Like mm-hmm. you just want to be affirmed, validated, mm-hmm. loved.
We
know?
All do, right? Like, I think yeah. that's the biggest, when you're mentioning about other people having, looking for people that have that same experience. Oh my God, literally we all have fear, whether we want to admit it or not.
Sure.
We're all afraid of something. And it's just, it's the ability, and it's not, I don't want to downplay it because I know it can be debilitating, the fear of something. Sure. Freeze you, really.
Yes.
You know, you're thinking about what you just mentioned about coming out, like, you know, you could have not done that at all and how
right.
sad that would have been. Because, like, I do occasionally hear of somebody literally being on their deathbed and going, just to let you know, I should have come out. Like, it is like, how sad,
it
right?
is.
Not only from the thought of living your life not as you really are, but all these other experiences, like you have a beautiful wife, you have a mother who loves your wife, you know, your children, like all of that would never have happened.
Right.
Because if you had have stayed frozen in that state, and so many things that we experience in our life, we don't experience, or we don't experience as soon as we could have, is because we're too scared, the fear of, and they're big things, they can be very big fears. It's not necessarily a fear of ruining an art supply, which,
right.
Look, okay, if you ruin your art supply, I mean, all right, if you can afford it, you can buy it again.
Right.
Sometimes that mistake is actually great, though, right?
Absolutely. That's why I think that's why I'm so excited about my idea, because I think it's such a great model to practice with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
because when we have fear, a lot of times actually the fear feels the same. Like fear feels like fear, whether it's about I'm about to mess up my art journal page, or I'm about to completely show everyone I have no clue how to use this art supply, or I'm going to tell my best friend that I'm actually really angry at her about something she said to me. Whatever. Yep. I just made that up in case one of my don't want them to worry about it. But anyway, the fear feels the same.
It does. Yeah, there's no difference.
No. So practicing with the art supplies, like, okay, what's your fear? Your fear is I'm going to totally waste this very expensive material I bought, and it's going to look horrible, and I'm going to feel like I don't know, just threw away all that money. Okay.
And I think the other, sorry to interrupt,
but
the other important thing about, I don't know what, for the listener's sake, this is, Susie and I we'll talk over each other, like, just how we are. I have no problems with it. But I thought I better apologize because, you know, someone might think I'm being rude. But like, so before, for the sake of the listeners, before we started recording, Susie and I were talking about a few things. And I mentioned to Susie about how I've begun making some art if I'm having trouble sleeping. And so this particular first piece that I did, when I was done, or not even when I was done, I was three quarters of the way through, and I suddenly went, oh, this is awful. Like, I do not like this at all. And I was like, well, probably doesn't matter so much, because this is more about the process of trying to make myself tired, shutting off my mind, as opposed to creating something I want to hang on the wall, right? And at the end of it, I really did not like it. At all. And I went, oh, well, whatever. Who cares? No one has to see. I can flip the page in the journal and never see it again if I don't want to look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how time, the next day I looked at it and went, oh, geez, I like that.
I love this story.
I had have got halfway, three quarters of the way through and stopped because I didn't like the way it looked. The fear of it looking like something it shouldn't have.
Right.
No, I didn't. I just went, you know, I'll just keep going anyway, because it's not about creating something attractive. And then the next day I looked at it and I'm like, actually, I really like this. But we might be afraid that we've created something and ruined an art supply. Just check it again the next day before you completely discard it, because it might be okay, right? You might not have used it in the way you thought you were going to. You may have produced something completely different to what you'd set out to produce.
So true.
It still might be all right anyway. Just give it a little bit of time. You never know.
I think that's so true. It's so true. When you're close to it, you can't really see it. Like, you're too attached, you know? Mm-hmm. Take a step back, and sometimes you can really appreciate it in a different way. I love that story. And we were talking about also just like art supplies that we love, and that, you know, like, you love oil pastels, and I can't do pastels. They just tactily, they do something to my fingers I don't like. But I think that a lot of times we just hold back. Like, it's possible I could try oil pastels and have a whole different experience of them today than and I'm holding a story about them. And but also, I think it's such a great practice to just keep pushing through. And even if you don't like something, just allow it to be, because whatever that narrative is that you have, like, I can't make something ugly, or I'm afraid someone will see this, or I'll upset myself because it's so ugly, or, you know, all of it is just like, let it go. Just let it go. Play. Go of your expectations and all of your goals for it.
Yep. Because you just, and like, you know, again, you don't have to look at it again if you don't. If you really just test something that much, cool, don't worry about it.
Yeah, do something else with it. Cut it up into little pieces and use it as collage.
Yep. So many things you can do with it. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about art and art making, is you can always repurpose it.
That's right.
So you Obviously, you've touched on how scary it has been to shift from one thing to another. But when you first mentioned it to me, when you first contacted me to say, hey, this is where I want to talk again and this is what I'm doing, I don't think it was my first thought, but it occurred to me that I sort of thought, I can understand why you want to make that shift too, because I imagine grief, working in that space, would be incredibly both, not uplifting, that's the wrong word, but like, you know, what you're doing with people is an incredibly powerful thing, but also on the same, the flip side, if I think about just, think about you specifically, it could also, I imagine it's also draining, and it's also like, I feel like that would be a, for you, difficult to maintain forever because of that. You give so much to help people. Again, nothing wrong with that, but it would take a lot out of you, I would have thought, as well. And I feel like what you're shifting towards feels like it's more sustainable, if that makes sense, for a longer term thing. Because yeah. I'm sure there'll still be grief things that will come up through the community. I can't imagine.
Oh, sure, for sure. Yeah.
But I feel like because it's not going to be your main everyday thought process, like every, you know, you're not going to be so deeply involved in it. I feel like as a longer term thing, it's sustainable more for your heart and mental health, like your whole well-being, if that makes sense.
I think that has definitely crossed my mind. All of what you just said are things that I've thought about. I think that there are a few things that played into this. One is the world, and in particular, the country I live in, United States, It's overwhelming what we're going through. And I'm finding that grief is a part of every single day, every time I turn on the news, every time I look at my phone, every time I talk to anybody I know, my queer friends, my trans friends, my children who have a bleak looking future at the moment. Grief is a big part of the world we live in at this moment. And that's not to say it wasn't before, but it is definitely on high alert right now. So I do find that that's already draining my reserves. I actually lost a lot of people in the last year or so. I lost two good friends who were young. They weren't even, one had just turned 60, one hadn't even turned 60. I lost four older people in my life, like elderly people, but even so, it was hard to lose them.
Yeah, of course.
And I found that because I'm so good at taking care of grief with other people that I don't, I needed time and space to go through my own process of grief. It was not easy to do it all at the same time. And I was sort of too self-contained. And then the other thing is that I think I need change. Like I like to learn new things, create new things. And I think that I needed the stimulation and I was tired of sort of still doing the same program, even though I absolutely knew the power of them. I know how much they've helped people. And honestly, that's the part, like that is the scary part of putting that aside for the time being, that like, who am I letting down? Who am I not serving? That kind of thing. And I just have to keep believing that what I'm doing now is really powerful too, and is going to serve other people or possibly the same people, but they don't know it yet, or they're not quite ready for it. And I think it's one of the reasons I'm so excited about it is because I love to create curriculum. I love to create programs and then run them. And I needed that. That's the nourished part, you know, I need to nourish my own creativity that way.
Well, I think so as someone who's in Australia, as opposed to America, who has friends, however, such as yourself, who are in America, but also just living in this world.
Yeah.
My biggest emotion is actually anger. Anger and disappointment, actually, if I'm completely honest. Anger and disappointment, both at what is also going on, but then disappointment in the people that are supposed to look after us. I mean, I know you can be cynical and say politicians don't, and, you know, I know really they don't. But, you know, from my perspective as an Australian, seeing what our country has done when we've gone along with yours right at the moment, like I won't get too political because I know this is a podcast and that's not what this is. But my goodness me, I'm finding myself increasingly disappointed just lately. And it's like, what do I do with those emotions? What do I do with the anger and the disappointment? Because internalizing them is never a good thing, right? We all know that. Same with your grief and everyone else. It's not healthy to keep it contained. And I guess at least the one thing an art community and art gives us is that ability to get it out of ourselves and onto something, onto a surface, you know? Yeah. And I definitely think that's where this community will also be really helpful, is to come to it and know that there are others feeling grief, anger, disappointment, or excitement, joy, you know, all the good emotions as well, and be able to use that in a way that I think is going to be healthy and also really good. You know, I think part of it is part of the thing with people being scared to make art or worried about making art is, I think for a lot of people, they think that they need to be creating something that reflects, you know, a landscape or a still life. Like, and I'm not downplaying the value of those, but if you just want to, like, create a massive canvas full of circles out of acrylic paint, if that's what you have to do, if that's what's in here, just do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like, you know, and I think that's one of the things where community can be so powerful, is it lets us see what other people are making, other people are creating, and going, all right, I love that, but this is what actually how I want to make that same sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that is one of the things we don't get if we don't have communities. We don't get to see what others are doing and producing and how they're channeling their emotions. And
right.
Yeah, and I think and you're right. I'm feeling it too, like that call for community. I've noticed it myself quite a lot lately, and I haven't really known what to do with it, but it's definitely been something I've been feeling. It's like a lack of community and a lack of that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think it will be very helpful.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like it's so important to connect with other people, to just feel like you're not alone when the world is challenging as it is. And I wanted to also say that, you know, I don't think I emphasized this at the beginning when I was talking about it, but one of the other reasons I wanted to do this shift is that my focus has really been on, you know, we're not making beautiful art, and we're here to get in touch with our feelings and put them on the page through the arts process. But I actually really am feeling the need personally, and everyone I've been talking to has been agreeing with me about this, to just have fun and play with art supplies. Yeah. And actually, like, the colors I'm loving right now are the fluorescent pink and orange and yellow and green, and to use bubble wrap and just make a bunch of dots all over the page, and then whatever, find cool images and collage them on. To just play and have fun. And it's a challenge because how do we justify it when the world is burning down, you know?
Yeah.
And the key is, we still have to do that. Yep. It's filling your tank. You have to fill your tank, or how can you even respond to all the things or people that need you and need you to be available if you don't fill your own tank? And if for you and me and a lot of people you and I know, it's playing with art supplies. And if the thing is, we're holding back because we feel like this is a time where my art has to be like activism.
Yeah.
That's fine, but that is not everything you have to do. You know, it can be rainbows and butterflies. If that's what makes you feel better, like go for that.
Yeah, I've been reading lately. I've been reading a bit more people who are heavily in the activist space in America, particularly, who are feeling so burnt out because obviously it takes a lot out of you. And thankfully, these people have come to realize that they need something when they're at home that's got absolutely nothing to do with that. And for some people, it's art. For other people, it's reading. For other people, it's gaming, whatever it might be. But they've realized that they have to bring that back into their life because there was just this massive imbalance of all this incredible work that they're doing, but also not looking after themselves. And it's such a, and I think part of it is because we just feel like it's not really worthy if we just put color onto a page, is it?
Well, I think people feel guilty. Like, I have the privilege. How can I spend my time doing this frivolous thing?
Yeah.
There's someone suffering over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. I really get that. And I don't think what I'm talking about is bypassing that. It's actually just about nourishing your own spirit so you can stay in the fight or go back to it or whatever it is you want to do.
You know?
And that's meaningful, that's important. I just feel like unless we take care of our own spirits, we can't. We just can't keep going. We're going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the juices that we need, you know.
Definitely. So basically, this community has to just happen now, Susie. Like, no pressure.
I know. I'm thinking early fall. I'm thinking I would probably do a few taster events over the summer.
Yeah, it's a good idea. That's a good idea. Yeah.
You know, if anyone who's listening wants to hear more about it, I would say go to my website and book a discovery call. Then we can talk and maybe even I'll pick your brain, see what it is you're looking for. But, I will have a little gifty poo for your listeners that you can put in the show notes, download of something, maybe a little worksheet or a art supply list or something.
Well, I think the other thing that's important about community, which I thought of before and then went off on a different tangent, is sometimes it's really powerful to have somebody encourage you to do something that you might not necessarily always do. And I think of an example. So I recently joined a creative person. What does she describe herself as? I can't think, but she's a poet. Mostly she's a poet and a writer of stories. And part of her Patreon membership, you can do, she does two writing sessions with her a month. And it's prompts. So she provides the prompts. They're very short, nothing. And I did one last month and I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it, which is a really dumb thing to say. But it was how I was feeling, right? Like I was really reluctant. And she does mention in like the email that comes out to tell you the dates and has the Zoom links that you can show up and do something else. You don't have to do the writing. If you just want the community aspect of it, that is totally fine. So I sort of went in thinking, all right, I grabbed one of my old book that I use for just creating in. And I'm like, right, I'm just going to do my own thing and just be there but not doing the thing. But there was only two of us in the community in this particular call. So I was like, oh, okay. And she gently encouraged me to give it a try because I said at the top, I said, oh, I'm not quite sure I'm going to want to do this. And she's like, that's okay, but how? And she just gently suggested I give it a try. And I'm so glad she did because I did it and really loved it. I got this little two-sentence poem thing and a bunch of other work, and it was just lovely. And simply because she gently guided us to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did the thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's going to come from this is, you know, you might have some people in there that you might one day go, right, we're going to, I don't know, focus on watercolor. And people go, oh.
Yeah.
Watercolor's scary because it can be because it doesn't do what you want half the time.
Right.
But with your gentle guidance and, you know, thing, pushing gently, encouragingly, I think it can, you can get, people can get a lot out of that.
Yeah, I agree.
This conversation has been everything I was hoping for.
Me too.
That's always the case, Susie.
Kim Coglin does not disappoint.
Before we finish up, where's the best place for people to find you at the moment?
At the moment, always on my website, which is unfoldart.com or susiestonefield.com, gets you to the same place. And on Instagram, creativity_midwife. Those are probably the best places to find me at this point.
Fantastic. Thank you, Susie. I really appreciate this conversation. It's been fun.
Thank you.